Father, we're so excited to be with you and with these other people standing around us, and we pray that your Holy Spirit would ignite us with your word right now, light a fire in our souls, and let us overflow with some things from heaven. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Proverbs, the fourth chapter, chapter 4 of the book of Proverbs. The title of our message is Guard Your Heart, and the text comes out of the fourth chapter. As you know, we're studying the Proverbs. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father. Listen to your father. Give attention to no understanding. Pay attention. Now, these are little simple things that are going to end up being profound, but if you will let these words speak to you today, your life will never be the same. You'll be more spiritual than when you walked in. You'll have more wisdom than your teachers. The Bible says in Proverbs that if you will study these Proverbs, you'll be wiser than your teachers. You'll have more understanding than the aged. You'll just see. You'll see that this world isn't real, and you will hear things that most people don't hear, and you'll know in your heart, and you will be able to do great and mighty things for your God, because this world is just about ready to end. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, so Solomon is talking about King David, his daddy, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me, and he said to me, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. So retention, that means memorization of scripture. A few weeks ago, when I was trying to explain David and Goliath to one of our grandsons, he was liking the story, and I livened it up. He's an Indiana Jones freak right now. And he was getting it, and I'd say, now remember, David's a good guy. Goliath is the giant. He's the bad guy. So a few hours went by, but he hadn't retained the whole story in his mind. So when his mom came by, I said, hey, quick, tell your mom what you learned. Good guy, David. Bad guy, giant. David hit him with a slingshot, but who is the giant's name? His name was, and he didn't retain it, so I tried to help him. I said, go. Yes, it was David and the gopher. David and the gopher, and I said, no, that's not it. So there is something here about retaining the words of the Lord. If you'll memorize them, I'm telling you, your life will change, and you'll see some wonderful things. So he taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live. Get wisdom. Okay, get it. So if you can get it, you can receive it. Get understanding. Okay, so you may not know what it is. If you just say, God, would you please give me wisdom and understanding? Supernaturally, out of heaven, things are going to spark in your brain. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she shall preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. That's how you'll get a raise. That's how you'll go further in life. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory. She will deliver to you. People will just see you differently. You'll radiate something that most people don't have. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. So wisdom will give you longevity. I have taught you in the ways of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. So he followed his father's footsteps, and he had been trained, and the ways of wisdom led him. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. There's nobody that can stop you. You know, the Bible says David cried out to God, and he said, Job said to God, I know there is no one that can hinder the work that you want to do. So when you're being used of the Lord and you're seeking him, there's no one that can stop you from doing what you do. In Iran right now, there are the dreamers. God of the Bible and the Holy Spirit is revealing himself to Iranians all over Iran through dreams. And Jesus is appearing to them, and they're accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And it's just mysterious how it's happening. And believers will be walking in Tehran or other cities, and they will see somebody at a store, and they'll start talking to them, or they'll be in line with them, and they'll look in their eyes, and they can tell by their eyes, and they say, you're a dreamer. You're one of the dreamers. And the other person will say, what are you talking about? And then they'll explain, says, yes, I've seen Jesus. And the other person says, yes, I have. I was told of one minister that started a work that has over 400 people in a basement. And he told people, you know, we're going to go to prison. Some of us can lose our lives. You've got to quit coming here for this Bible study. We just want to stay small. And it doubled in size. Because the persecution really brings out the real Christians. So America is going to see a lot of persecution in the coming years. It's already started, but it's going to get pretty ugly. So you want to memorize and remember these things and let God just touch your head with an ornament of grace and a crown of glory. On Wednesday night, I was speaking at in Philadelphia, and there were some men that came forward at the invitation to accept Jesus that I was praying for. And this one young man, he must have been about 22 years old, and he had a really bad drug problem. And he so desperately wanted to be rid of the drug problem and have his life right. And I prayed for him that God would fill him with his wisdom and that he would bless him with eternal life. And I said, how about, Jeff, you pray now? And he said, I don't know how. I said, just like you've been talking to me about how hurt you are inside, just tell God. He'll listen. So he prayed. And one of the things he said was, God, I'm so tired. I'm so weary. And I want what I heard tonight. But could you take this weariness away from me? His life had been so beaten down that he had just given up. But that night he got hope and he got this crown of glory that will deliver him. My son, if you receive my sayings and the years of your life will be many, I've taught you the way of wisdom. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Don't travel on it. Get away from anything that takes you to darkness. Turn away from it. Pass on. Shut off the TV. Get rid of that song. You know, get off that website. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just person is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. They're tripping over their words, their friends, their parties. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my saying. Give some time to the Proverbs, he's saying. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Read them every day. If you read one chapter a day in 1 month, you'll have read the whole book of Proverbs. And then do that every month. And every year, you'll read the book of Proverbs all the way through. Many times, 12 times, and you'll be very, very wise. Give attention to my words, for they are the life to those who find them, and then their health to all of their flesh. Now, would you underline this, please? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Some of your translations, instead of R, say spring the issues of life, like a spring or a waterfall pouring out. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. Put perverse lips far from you. Get perversion of any sort away from you and deceit. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Even think of what you're going to do this afternoon and tomorrow. Plan what you're doing. Look at what you've got planned and where you're going and who you're hanging out with. Let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left and remove your foot from evil. In verse 23, our text, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. This heart that you have is the only heart you'll ever have, and it is a powerful tool that God has given you. The word for heart is used 830 different occurrences in the Bible, Old and New Testament, from the King James Version translation. I found it very interesting where you find the very first mention of the human heart in the Bible. It goes along with what Jesus said, that we would know the end of the world is. As in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming, a sign at the coming of the days of the Son of Man. Jesus would come back to earth when planet earth was in the same position as it was in the days of Noah when the flood came. All you have to do is read Genesis, the first 6, 7, 8 chapters, and you begin to see sexual perversion. Crime was on the rise. Wickedness was everywhere. People were doing what they wanted to do. There was no mention of God, and everybody was just lost to their sins. It's much like we are existing in today. Planet Earth is in the same place. Some extrapolations of numbers tell us that very likely from the beginning of the human race about 5,000 years ago, that there was maybe 4 billion people on planet Earth when Noah was alive. It's during the time of judgment and what brought the judgment of God on planet Earth that the first word of human heart is mentioned. It is interesting, the human heart is the same today with all of its improvements that it was in the days of Noah. Listen to what it says in Genesis 6, verse 1. It came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, they were only doing addition and subtraction at that time, so they got to multiplication, I guess. When they began to multiply, otherwise there was a birth explosion on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now, one school of thought is the sons of God are fallen angels, demons, were having sex with female humans, and they created this other race that lives on the planet. Some say it's the Nephilim or the giants. Or some say the sons of God were the lineage that came from Seth, because at Seth, after the murder of Abel, and Cain went out into the land of Nod, started the first government, the first city council, commerce, business, and an anti-God world. Seth was born to Adam and Eve, and that's when men began to call on God. So some say the sons of God were this godly line of people that believed in God, and they began marrying the daughters of the ungodly line that came from Cain. So we don't really know. We'll know when we get to heaven, that's for sure. The sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. And from that time, Noah began for that 120 years building the ark, and God wiped out the human race, except for eight people. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination, underline that, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. There's the first use of the word heart. And God saw that the heart was being used by man to continually create evil. All you have to do, and I don't encourage you to do this, is go on the internet and you realize everything that could be imagined is being practiced or viewed by the world. We were doing a training to a police department's trauma team the week before the last, out of town and in another city. And I was sitting at lunch with one of the background investigators. And I was telling him in a meeting that I was in with one of the directors of the FBI, who said it's so difficult today to find young men and women that we can take into the Federal Bureau of Investigation. That if you had used marijuana or any drug at all, there's no way you'd ever be an FBI agent. But we realize society has changed, so we've lowered our standard and minimal use would be accepted. See, the standard keeps getting lowered. So I mentioned that to this background investigator, and he says, you know, it's interesting. We get all these young men and women that want to be police officers, and they bring me their packet, and just as they're leaving the room, as we've got everything all ready and we're going to do the background investigations, they're taking their exams and they're being checked out if they are fit to be a police officer. I say, could you give me your personal website address and your MySpace? And they all look and say, well, why? He says, part of our investigation. He said, Mike, you wouldn't believe when you go online and see some of the poses of some of the people and the drunkenness and the debauchery and some of the smut that is on their websites. No way they'll ever become a police officer. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. See, there's a problem going on in San Diego. In fact, the news reporters say that every high school has this problem. High schools have a lot of problems, but this is called sexting. And maybe you've read about it in the Union Tribune, or you've seen it on Channel 8 or 10 or 6. It's where the teenage girls and boys are showing their bodies off with their telephones. And instead of texting, it's called sexting. And some of them are very unbecoming, and some of the kids are being blackmailed. And other kids that are turning against them are putting it up on the internet so that they can see the other people's bodies or that they're doing something that's wrong. Now, if you have a person that's a teenager in your family or you're a teenager, anything you put on the internet is there for eternity. I'm sorry. It was developed by the military. It wasn't developed by Steve Jobs or Bill Gates. The military developed the internet. And there was a reason for it. They know everything going on now in houses that nobody knew before was going on in houses. And all they have to do is punch in your IP number. And there are no secrets, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry to tell you. You have digital phone with the cable company. Every phone call is technically available for somebody to listen to what you said. It's happened without you even knowing it. You've given up your privacy. But then you've given up your heart. By heart experts that can say, here's what she's really thinking. Listen to this. Guard your heart with due diligence, for it's out of your heart that the issues of life flow. And when God saw that the wickedness of man was great in all the earth like it is today, that every imagination of the thoughts of the heart were evil continually. There's no reason for mankind to be around once we turn to that debauchery. So number one, keep your heart. What does it mean, keep your heart? If you look up Mr. Strong's Greek Hebrew dictionary and you go look up the word keep, it means to preserve, to guard from dangers. To keep, to observe, to guard with fidelity. With fidelity. Loyalty. With loyalty, you'll put a lock and a gate on your heart that only what is godly would come and go and good would come and go. You guard from dangers. You get off that stupid internet. And you get away from those filthy pictures. And you stop listening to those lyrics that are pulling you down. You get away from all your buddies that are getting high and getting drunk. You guard your heart with due diligence. You just protect it. You're loyal. You're there to observe. No, I don't want that. Change the channel. I don't want to hear those words. I'm sorry. I don't need those lyrics in my mind. America is falling. We're killing ourselves. It's not our outward enemy, it's ourselves. Our hearts are continually wicked and evil, and we've turned from God. And the judgment of God is going to come, just like the first time heart was mentioned. God is going to bring it in the days of Noah, unless we return and repent. While you were paying $4 a gallon, Dubai, after our twin towers were knocked down, has the tallest buildings in the world that have been built since that time, and will be the financial center of all the Middle East. And there is not a state, a city, or a county as beautiful or as modern as the country of Dubai. I don't know if you've been watching or reading Dubai. I've been very interested. MSNBC had a special on it. And it is unbelievable, the wealth. And you're paying for it. You're paying for it. Well, why did all of you sheiks build Dubai? Because there's 400 million people that need a place to go for vacations and have a financial center. As our towers went down, their towers went up. Ladies and gentlemen, the guy behind the curtain is not the Wizard of Oz. We need to repent as a people because we've already lost it. We have spit in God's face. We have judges ruling and passing laws that are an abomination to the Lord God Almighty that created heaven and earth. And there is no reason for us, starting in the state of California and the state of Massachusetts, to be around anymore. If the salt loses its savor, Jesus said, and he said, you are the salt of the world, it is good for nothing but to be cast down and trodden under by the feet of men. We need the wisdom to preserve and to guard our hearts from danger, to push away anything that comes to us. And it is interesting that in Ezekiel 38, when he speaks to the leader of Russia and tells him to gather these African nations and these Islamic nations and come against the Jews and wipe them out, he said, be thou prepared in verse 7, and prepare for you, you and all your company that are assembled unto you, and you be the guard unto them. You give the weapons, you protect them, you give them the strength, and you go. But you be the boss, and then my hand will come against you. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 35, Jesus Christ himself said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. A good man, a good treasure, brings good things to his community. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. So who's ruling? It says in Ruth chapter 1, verse 1, in the days that the judges did rule. Hold it. What do you mean the days the judges did rule? You go back one page to the last chapter of Judges and the last verses leading up to Ruth. And it says, in the days that the judges did rule, every man did that which was right in his own sight. Every time in the Bible that a nation went down, the judges ruled and not the leaders. Our judges are making decisions that we, the people of the United States, have voted against, and they say we have no voice, that their voice is stronger than our voice. Judgment is on its way. And it is not going to be pretty. All we need is the San Andreas fault for God to say, I'm going to release the pressure. They don't need me anymore. I've held that baby back for a long time. And you think what happened in China was big? Give me a break. A huge cyclone wipes out a country. An earthquake wipes out thousands and thousands of people. We don't even know the total deal. And the people that work the big picture know how to dumb you out, get you down, and you have no strength to fight back. Your life is precious and it's valuable. Don't give your heart to anything other than the Lord and the people you love. Guard it. Out of a good heart comes a good treasure. Out of an evil man comes an evil treasure and evil things. But I say to you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account of in the day of judgment. For by my words thou shalt be justified, and by the words thou shalt be condemned. In Luke 24, two guys are walking on the road to Emmaus after Jesus is resurrected, and he appears to them and talks to them, starting with Moses and giving them Bible scripture. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened up the scripture? Wisdom says the scripture can open your heart to burn for God. Didn't it just burn when he spoke to us and he shared his love and God's love for mankind? On a prominent boulevard in Chicago that stood for many years, a fence. The fence was actually 18 feet tall. And it was built by a single woman that was wealthy who imagined that her neighbor was always looking into her windows. So she hired a contractor and had him build this 18-foot fence. While it effectually cut off the inlook, it shut the sunshine out of her own backyard, ruined the lawn, cast a shadow all the time upon her house. You know, spite and resentment always cast the heaviest shadow over our hearts. Bitterness can cast a shadow. If we harbor it, we shut out the sunshine of life that God could give us. Think of what's in your heart right now. If you were to have somebody say, could you help me? Do you have good treasure in your heart or evil treasure? Would you be able to reach into your heart and with your gracious words bring good treasure out? Or would putrefaction come? Or would you be more concerned to be politically correct or involved in what you're doing more so than bringing good treasure to all of society and realizing your little minority is hurting? Is it really for the better of the good or better for self and the flesh? Well, Jesus had a lot to say about it. Keep your heart, and it means to guard it. But it says keep it with all diligence. Well, what does that mean? Well, Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, in their commentary, said that diligence means above or more than all, more than anything else you're doing today. Guard your heart. It's for those of you that are in law enforcement. It comes from the word custody. You put the cuffs on them. You've got them in custody. Yeah, shoot her down in custody. That's what the word diligence means. You bring it into custody. You're going to guard it like a soldier on duty. But like a law enforcement officer, you're going to grab all the thoughts and all the pictures and all the imageries and all the emotions and bring them into custody, because the heart's the depository of all wisdom and the source of whatever affects your life and your character. Now, I found it really fascinating myself that, okay, so I'm going to guard my heart. I'm going to keep my heart. Okay, can't look at the Victoria's Secret catalog, Mike. Okay, throw that in the trash when you get your mail. Okay, can't watch that TV show. Yeah, well, okay. I've got to guard. I've got to sift. I've got to think. That's not good. That's not going to build me up. It doesn't edify. Lord, take that. Okay, oh, what a great book I'm reading. Whoa, look at this person, what they went through. I just reread the life of David Livingston while I was on the road this last week. Man, he had this dysentery that was making him bleed. And here he was, the only white man for 14 years. He never saw another white face. And he's teaching medicine. And the Arab slave traders are coming and trying to bring the black Africans into slave and turn them into Muslims. And they're the ones that took him. And David would be the only white guy. And his body was so frail. And one time a lion attacked in a village where he was. And it got David Livingston, the doctor from London. Sandy and I have been in David Livingston's house. It was top floor above a mill on a river in Blantyre, Scotland. I bet it was 300, 200 square feet. Five kids in that house, mom and dad. Their bed was in the living room in front of the fireplace where the kitchen, living room, everything was right there in this little 80 square foot deal, and all five kids in the other little room. I mean, tremendous pressures to be in a situation like that. But he becomes a doctor, and he hears Dr. Robert Moffat, who spent time in South Africa and one of the very first people to go from the London Missionary Society. And he said at a party one time, telling the people in London and all the reporters, "I have seen the smoke from over 1,000 villages on the great plains of Africa where ne'er the gospel of Jesus Christ has been preached." And Dr. David Livingston, having graduated from college and gotten his medical degree, heard Jesus and he said, "Then I shall go to Africa." And David, as a young, handsome man, goes and gives his life to these people. Savages, really. People that knew nothing about the modern world. And he loved them, and they loved him, and they loved the Bible, and they loved the scriptures. And they say David never slowed down. He kept going. He's the one that found Victoria Falls. He said, "You could see the mist from the Victoria Falls 20 miles away. And when I got and saw the beauty of God's grandeur," and when he explained that God had carved that out, the Africans that were with him, they're just amazed at God and his beauty. David went on, and his wife had to leave because she got malaria. Then the boys got malaria, and they lose a child. She loved him so much, she said, "You stay and serve these people." You all know the story. Dr. Livingston, I presume, when Mr. Stanley from the Chicago Tribune came looking for him, they hadn't heard from David Livingston for years. They figured he was killed. They had heard he had been mauled by a lion. And yes, a lion jumped on two or three of the people in the village, and David got in the middle of it, and it shredded his shoulder. For the rest of his life, David walked with his shoulder missing. Scratches on his body, the dysentery, the malaria, eating him away, the lines in his face and his aging, and he went on and on. And then one day, he had his medicine chest stole by a young man that was being discipled by him. And the Arab slave traders paid him to get his medicine chest, because if he didn't have the sulfur, he couldn't fight the fever. And David went on, and as his bearers said, "We will go. And we will catch that man and we'll hang him from his thumbs in the hot sun of the day." He said, "No, we must turn our cheek and we must pray for our brother." Love. There's the difference of Jesus and every other movement in the world. Love. Love. That's the only reason you're sitting here, is because of the love of God. God loves you, and his love covers a multitude of sins. You know, David was just racked. I'd never read these things that I read this week. I have the very first book that was ever written about him, 1860, I think it is. But I was given this book by a friend in Detroit. And it told in his diary how he felt. And it wasn't very pretty. But he kept walking through the swamps and across the rivers. And he just kept going and going. And so they put him in a hut of a village of a chief. And everybody called him Bwana Master. And Sandy and I have seen the chains on the little boys and the little girls and the handcuffs. And they'd put 5 or 10 of the Africans on these rods, and they would beat them with these sticks. And then they would march them to the coast. And then they would sell them to the British traders who would take them, traders that would take them to America's west coast and sell them for cotton and take the cotton on the ships back to England, sell the cotton for things to bring down to Africa and take the slaves over to America. And boy, oh boy, sick. Here's a guy that loved the Bible so much, and he just would preach it to these people. These people fall in love with Jesus. And I remember seeing some of the torture stuff that was used in Africa in David's home. You can go and see it today. And you'd see above the mantle the handcuffs, and oh, how horrible it was. But when David Livingston was seen by the Arab slave traders coming through the jungles of Africa, and he might only have 10 people bearing things with him, they would quietly walk over and undo the cuffs and the neck chains and undo the hands and the leggings of the boys and the girls and the old and everybody that was there and let him go free and not say a thing. Because they knew that this man was so powerful just by his love and his presence that if they killed him, it would cause a revolution, that every Arab would be murdered on the spot. This man was Mr. Love, and he sacrificed himself for the people. He knelt down. They said, "Get in bed. Now I must pray." He folded his hands on his chin, leaning on it with his elbows on the bed, and he was praying. "Doctor, you must get in bed. The fever is too bad." And the chief walked over and touched him, and he fell over in the position of prayer. Well, they brought all the tribes around, and they laid his body in the middle of the village, and they took a dagger. The chief plunged it into his chest and cut out his heart. They buried David Livingston's heart underneath a big tree. And then they wrapped his body in cloth, and a tribe just went from one end to the other, and they went all the way from East Africa to West Africa to where the ships came from Great Britain. And they said, "Here is the body of Bwana Dr. David Livingston. You must take him back to his land." And today, if you go to Westminster Abbey and you go to London, you will see the great tribute where he is buried to Dr. David Livingston. But the chief said, his heart stays in Africa because he gave his heart for Africans. Oh, what a story. And I think, what a wimp I am. No, guard it with diligence, because the issues of life come out of it. In John 12, it says, "But though he had done many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke. Therefore they could not believe. He has blinded their eyes. He has hardened their heart, that they should not see and understand with their heart and be converted, that I should heal them." Yes, there comes a time that maybe your heart will be blinded and your eyes will be blinded. You'll never hear the name Jesus. You'll never hear Christian. You'll never hear Bible or Scripture or any good thing, because you are so strong-willed that you want to do it your way. And God is a gentleman, and he'll just let you go your way. You see, there's two ways to look at it. Thy will be done. Or at the end, he says, thy will be done. And you go off to hell for eternity because of your will. Whose will is it going to be? Well, with all diligence, there are the issues of life. What does it mean? Jesus said in Luke 24:38, "Why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts?" Aha! Our heart is the place the ideas come from. Good ideas, bad ideas. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 14, there's ritual going on, and the Jews attack Jesus and his disciples and say, "Okay, how about this? How come you don't ritually wash your hands?" Same thing as, "How come you don't genuflect or have your prayer beads or do this or do that to prove that you are a godly person?" And Jesus said in verse 16, "Are you also still without understanding?" Boy, do we need understanding and wisdom. "Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. That's what defiles a man. Good treasure, good heart, good things. Evil person, evil heart, evil things." Judges ruling, endorsing evil things, evil actions, tells you the heart of the country. I love you people. I don't know most of you. I've seen a lot of kids grow up and become parents and have their babies and them grow up. I've seen a lot in this city. I've watched the filth get filthier and the dirt get dirtier. And I watch the people that say they're gods get lazier. We're at war. We're at the war against the devil for the souls of your cousins and your nieces and your nephews, for your grandparents. And this war is a ruthless war. No, for out of the heart, those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. That's what's going to defile you. For out of the heart proceeds, look at this, evil thoughts, murders, adultery, fornication, sex outside of marriage, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies. These are the things which are going to destroy you. But to eat with unwashed hands and be religious that you didn't light a candle or you didn't do something? No, it's your heart. Guard it like a prison guard. Guard it like a guard post in a military situation, above all things. So in conclusion, as Vance Havner said, "We've never had more amusement and entertainment than we have today, but we've never had more lonely people. Loneliness is a malady that stretches from San Diego to Miami, from Miami to Pittsburgh and to Portland and Seattle. Loneliness. You see, because our heart is looking for truth. It was designed to do that. So we open up our heart and we say, let's go at it. Let's sex text. I'm 15. I'm going to show my body off. Guy or girl, let's have a little something going on and video it and put it on MySpace." They have not been trained in the way to go. These are the next leaders of America. And they don't even qualify to be a police officer in today's standards. Do you think when I'm 75 or 85 and I'm costing somebody 40 or 50, 60,000 a year to keep me on the tube and have the nurses looking after me that somebody's not going to come along and say, just yank the cord? You know who that guy is? He's the guy that used to preach. Get rid of him. What about your life? God loves you people so much. He has so much for you. And it's the scriptures that brings it to you. There are eight things you need to know about your heart before you go home. Number one, John 16:6. It can have sorrow. But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. John 16:22. Your heart, it can have joy. Number two. And you know, you now therefore have sorrow, but I'll see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man can take from you. Number three, John 14:27. Your heart, it can have peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives to you, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It can have peace. Number four, Acts 2:37. It has a conscience. Now when they heard the gospel preached, they were pricked in their hearts. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do about this? We're in sin. What shall we do? Number five, Acts 6:46. It can be shared. You can share your heart. And they, continuing daily, the early church, with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. We're one with the brothers and sisters of the body of Christ. Number six, Acts 5:3. Satan can have access to your heart. And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of your land? This was a man that was in the church. He sold a piece of real estate and he was telling everybody, oh, we sold this real estate and we gave the money to the church. And when he walked into church, St. Peter said, you've lied to the Holy Ghost. What is with you? When it was your property, you could do whatever you wanted with it. When you sold it, you could have done anything you wanted with the money. But to lie and to say that you gave to the Lord, what's the difference of that? Or lying and saying to the IRS that you did this or that? You've lied. You've lied before the Lord. Oh, it's acceptable. No, it's not. Cheating and lying is not acceptable. Sex outside of marriage is not acceptable. Sex, men with men and women with women, is not acceptable in God's kingdom. Don't say that to be a political right-wing conservative Christian. I say it for your soul. Guard your heart. Because this is what the issues of life is about. And if you guard your heart, God will put the good treasure in. But the world will certainly pollute your heart and you'll have evil treasure. Number seven, your heart can be forgiven. There's the great gospel. Philip is walking along. And he's talking to the treasurer of Ethiopia. And the Ethiopian is in his chariot reading from the book of Isaiah. And he says, is he speaking about, Peter, Philip runs up to him. And he said, is he speaking about himself or one to come? And he preaches Christ to him. It's about Jesus, the book of Isaiah. Well, it says in Acts 8:22, he said, what can I do? You can be forgiven. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness pray God if perhaps a thought of your heart may be forgiven you. And it can bring you to salvation. That's the story of Philip. And so Philip said, what can you do? He said, if you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized. And the man answered and he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Would some of you like to repeat that out loud with me? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now the Bible says no man can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. If you've got evil treasure in your heart or you have a hard heart, you aren't able to say that. But if you truly believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, Son of God, then the Holy Spirit has given you the opportunity to have a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. May I encourage you that the compromises are going to get bigger and the issues you're going to face are going to get filthier. And society is going to start falling apart very quickly. And then there's going to be pressure and an iron fist come down on America. While we are going down, Dubai has risen from the desert to be one of the richest places in the world. There is not a city, a county, a state, or a country as wealthy and as beautiful as the multi-millions worth of condominiums, beach houses, we're being judged. But if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face, and they'll cry out unto me, I will hear them, and I'll forgive them, and I'll bless their land. You see, in Psalm 44, King David says to God, O God, we have heard of you with our ears from our fathers who have told us of your deeds in their time, in the days of old. I can tell you 34 years worth of deeds in San Diego County that would blow your mind that I've seen God do. It's amazing that he's alive. He has one thing to say to you. Guard your heart, because this is where life is coming from. Good person, good treasure, good words. Evil person, evil treasure, evil words. Shall we stand and shall we pray? We thank you that there is wisdom in the Proverbs, Lord. We thank you that we are reminded over and over by the author, as Solomon says, listen, retain, take heed, understand, pay attention. Take these words, put them in your heart, don't forget them, live by them. Seek God, you'll find him. He'll give you understanding, a crown. He will give you grace in your life, and you will be a good person. Lord, as we open up just this one verse out of that entire chapter, we realize the importance of the wisdom of guarding our hearts. Oh God, some of us have slipped. We've stumbled. You said that wisdom will keep us from stumbling. Some of us have hindered our growth as a human being, spiritually, emotionally, because evilness has come into our life freely. And so we're asking that you'll forgive us and give us great understanding. And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, this is between you and the Lord. I'd like to remember to pray for you when I go home. And I'm wondering if right now there are many of you that would just ask God to take the evil treasure that you have locked up in your lockbox in your heart. That he'd take those bad things and the evil things away. That you want good treasure in that heart that's going to live for eternity. And I wonder if you'd just say a simple prayer. Dear God, I pray that you'd forgive me for letting the world be a cesspool into my heart. And I'm sorry that I do things that are ugly and dirty and foul. And I say things that are unbecoming. And I've trapped myself. I've got it recorded in my heart that you can see as much as if I have it on MySpace. That the whole world could see what evil lurks in the darkness. Lord, as your son said, it's the words that come out of a man's mouth that defile him. And it's from the heart that wickedness proceeds. Dear God, I ask that you would cleanse my heart. I pray you would renew a right spirit within me. Remove these things that pull me and others down around me. Let me have wisdom and understanding to see the bigger picture, that I could share my treasure with other people. Now, if that's your desire, I'd like you just to look up at me and raise your hand up. I'd like to acknowledge you. Lord, I thank you for all these people. It's heart-wrenching to see how close you are and to realize people are hurting and they just have let the sewer pipe come in. And I pray for them right now, for each of these sweet people that raise their hands, Lord. You'd have mercy on them and you'd just heal them. You'd let your love cover a multitude that has gotten into their heart. Lord, may they walk out today free and liberated and just know that, okay, it's over with. I'm never doing that again or thinking that again. I want my heart to be filled with wisdom and understanding in the Holy Scriptures. God, I want to love you with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. God, would you bless these people and honor them? The devil has taken them down, and I see you've lifted them up. Let them see that you've lifted them up, and they have a new life right now to start fresh today. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Jesus, for all the agony and the pain that you took, so that all of us could be forgiven, no matter how far down we've gone. May you bless these people, Lord Jesus, and show them your great love. In your name we pray. Amen.